Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series called Seven. And in this series, we're looking at what has been called throughout church history the seven deadly sins. The seven deadly sins. And today we're going to be talking about the deadly sin of sloth. The deadly sin of sloth. Please take your Bible or your device and go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And today we're going to begin with what we call our key verse, which is Romans 12, verse number 11. Also, you'll find in your program a study guide of our message for today. I'd like to encourage you to take out and use that study guide and take advantage of that learning tool. Well, it's been said that idle hands are the devil's tools, right? Okay, idle hands are the devil's tools, or sometimes it's said devil's workshop. And there's a lot of truth to that, okay? When we're idle, we're not doing very much, right? Okay, we're in a vulnerable position. We're in a vulnerable state. And so today we're going to talk about sloth, and we're going to talk about what we can do to survive it. And I know I'm talking to a group of people that live here in Northern Virginia and the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And I know we work really hard around here, okay? And so I know that most of you are very, very diligent people, okay? I understand that. But I want you to think about, not just working hard. I mean, some of you need to get convicted today because you're not working hard. But a lot of us need to think about what we're working hard doing, okay? It's not just, whether you're doing, are you doing the best things? Are you doing the right things? Are you staying busy in the correct areas of your life? So this kind of has multiple applications to it when we talk about this idea of sloth. Romans 12:11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not lagging in diligence, not coming up short, not lagging when it comes to being diligent. I love that. And then it says we're to be fervent. We're to be on fire in our spirit. We're to be on fire in our spirit. And the Bible says we're to do that serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. So with that in mind, let's go to page 2 of our notes today. And let's talk about how to survive sloth. How can you survive sloth? Now, let's begin with the nature of sloth. Okay, what comes to your mind when I say sloth? I mean, what comes to your mind when you think about this whole issue of sloth? And so basically, sloth is excessive avoidance of physical or spiritual work. Excessive avoidance of physical or spiritual work. So it's the whole idea of, letting, comfort overtake you and comfort kind of overtaking true effort in your life. And it's when you avoid, number one, physical work, okay, physical labor, but also don't forget spiritual work. Okay? It's really important that we understand that we are to be, the Bible says, exercise yourself to godliness. We need to be doing spiritual disciplines that will help us to grow and help us mature in our faith. And some of us are slothful in those areas, okay? We're avoiding spiritual work. We're not doing what we should do spiritually. Now, the Bible places a high, high priority on work, And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says this, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, and I want you to underline this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That's one of the most powerful statements in the whole Bible. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So God has designed a plan where there's a connection between working and eating, or working and having a place to live, or working and having clothes on your back, or whatever it might be. In other words, God says if a person will not work, okay? Not can't work. You know, certainly if a person can't work for some reason, we ought to try to show some compassion and try to show some mercy towards this person. But listen, if a person just, they will not work, okay? They've chosen a lifestyle of being a sloth. They've chosen a lifestyle of being lazy. God says, basically, let them starve. Okay, that's my own rendition of this, okay? Neither shall they eat. Neither shall they eat. And in verse 11, it goes on to say, for we hear that there's some who walk among you, okay? So who's he writing to? He's writing to a church. He's writing to a church. This church is in a place called Thessalonica. Thessalonica. And so right in the church, so this is going to happen even in church life, right? It's going to happen in church. He's writing to a church. And this is going to happen at Capital Baptist Church as well. People that they will not work, but they're looking for a handout. They're looking for this. They're looking for that. And Paul describes these people as disorderly. Would you circle the word disorderly? See, God's got an order, okay? The order is called work, okay? The order is called work. And when you will not work, you're out of order, okay? You're out of order. God's got a plan. And that plan is you work as hard as you can to provide for your own needs. And the Bible says when people aren't working in work, they're working in gossip, okay? He says, you're not working at all, and you're busybodies. You're busybodies. And, these are people, they can talk and they can gossip and they can do all kinds of things. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, the people that give me the hardest time in our church aren't the people that serve. You see, the people that serve, they know how hard this is, okay? Okay, you might not think the music was the greatest or whatever. I'm just using an example. They were great, okay? Don't get me wrong. Okay? But I'm saying, but you can sit out there, and you can talk about them, okay? But you're not showing up every Thursday night, okay? Like these people are, practicing, trying to get ready. You're not showing up here at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, okay, to try to do a warm-up and get ready, okay? You can sit back there and, in the pew or whatever and criticize or whatever. You might not think my sermon's too great, okay? That's okay, all right? But you haven't put 15, 20 hours into a presentation. You don't know what that's like to get up very early, usually about 5:45, and work on this stuff or whatever. You don't understand all that. See, people that don't work, they're problem people. They're troublemakers is what they are, okay? In the church and outside of the church, So you got to realize God says that people aren't working, they turn into busybodies. They turn into the busy. Are you a busybody or are you a worker? Okay. And here's the command. We command you. Underline that word command. And we exhort you. We command and we exhort you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what we need to do. Work in quietness. Now what does that mean? Okay. We all like a pat on the back. Okay. Who doesn't like a pat on the back? But, just because you get up to go to work tomorrow doesn't mean there ought to be a 21-gun salute, okay? You woke up, went to work. Just work with quietness. Just get up and do your deal, okay? Get up and do your duty, okay? It's a duty. Don't be out of order. Go to work, okay? Go to work. Work with quietness. Just plod along, My mom and dad, all their years, just work with quietness. I'm going to talk about my parents a little bit more in a second, but, neither one of my parents graduated from high school. Blue-collar workers, never made a lot of money, never had very good jobs, never had very fancy jobs, dirty jobs, crummy jobs by a lot of standards. But you know what? They would get up every day and go to work with quietness. They would get up every day and do their deal, okay, or whatever. You shouldn't be expecting the whole world to go crazy because you're working, okay? Eat your own bread, okay? Eat your own bread. You put bread on your table, okay? And eat your own bread. There's something to be said for work, okay? And so avoidance of physical and spiritual work is a good way to understand sloth. Now, the virtue we want to put on is diligence. Diligence. So remember, in this series, we're not just getting rid of something. We're trying to add something, all right? So we're trying to get rid of the sloth, and we're trying to add the diligence. And here's what it says. Verse 10, don't ever forget this verse. For God is not unjust to forget your work, and labor of love. All right, so number one, God knows you're working, all right? And God knows what you're doing, and God knows what you're not doing, okay? God knows what you're doing, and God knows what you're not doing, okay? He knows what you're doing in this church. That's kind of the context of this. It says when you show love in his name, okay? When he sees you laboring, he sees you working. When you're ministering to the saints, you know, and you do minister. And so you got, this is an encouraging verse, you know, because, you know, as much as we want to thank each other and appreciate each other, and we should do our best to do that, don't get me wrong, we ought to, you know, we ought to go out of our way in our church to, as often as we can just to say thank you and show appreciation. But sometimes we fall short in that sometimes and we miss something or whatever. Okay, this is true of all of us. But here's the deal. God never forgets. God never forgets. He sees what you're doing. He's paying attention to what you're doing. He knows what you're doing, all right? And he will not forget your work. Okay, he will not forget your work. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence. Underline that. Show the same diligence. Underline that. Show the same diligence. So what we need to show is diligence. We need to be diligent. We need to be moving forward in the area of a good, strong work ethic, all right? And then in verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, all right? So the enemy of diligence is to become sluggish, okay? We can get lazy and things like that. And so we need to overcome being sluggish by being diligent. So that gives you some idea about the nature of sloth, the nature of sloth. Now let's talk about four deadly results of sloth, because a lot of you, if I ask you to list by priority from the, you know, kind of the, you know, what are the worst ones on the list, a lot of you might put sloth as the last one. You might put sloth down there at the bottom. But sloth is a very deadly sin. Sloth is a very, very deadly sin. I just want to highlight this because you almost skipped this part, but I want to deal with the mindset that sloth is not that big a deal, okay? The Bible says just the opposite. Now, what I decided to do was I decided to prioritize the book of Proverbs. Proverbs says a lot about sloth. Proverbs says a lot about work. Proverbs says a lot about diligence. And so every one of these sub-verses are from Proverbs. Now, before we look at them, I want to highlight the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a father writing to his son. A father writing to his son. That's the context of this book. So this is a dad, a parent, talking to his son, talking to his child, all right? And so the big picture here is there's a message to parents. And that is, parents, you need to model hard work for your kids, all right? And then you need to, you know, train your kids to work hard, okay? You need to model it with your life, you know? Sure, you'd like to spend all your time with your kids or whatever. But you know what? You can't, okay? Your kids need to understand that. Mommy's going to work, okay? she's going to work, you know? Daddy's going to work or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of training your kids. That's part of showing them, you know, you're a worker, okay? One of my earliest memories of my parents is my dad worked at a foundry, Lynchburg Foundry. And my dad worked the second shift. It was like, I don't remember the hours, but it was like 3 to midnight or something like this. It was real late at night, okay? And I can remember going with my mom. They only had one car, okay? We only had one car. And who would imagine just one car for a whole family? Crazy, isn't it? Okay. And I would go with my mom to get my dad. Okay. And I remember my dad would be full of, he'd literally be black. He was a white guy. But he looked black or whatever. He was so full of soot. And it was a nasty, dirty, filthy job. He was working with sand and shoveling sand. It was filthy making steel. And it's back when they made steel in the U.S. Can you imagine that too, or whatever? Okay, that's one of my earliest memories of my dad. He smelled. Yeah, he'd been sweating. He stunk. Okay, he looked horrible. Okay, but my dad was at work. Okay. He was working. Okay? He was working. And you know, your kids ought to get an image that your work. Yeah, you need to spend time with your kids. I'm not saying get out of balance, but I'm just saying, you know what? You can't be with your kids all the time. And part of you training your kids is daddy's going to work. Mommy's going to work. You know, Solomon here is talking about work, 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 work. All right? Don't be a sloth, okay? Don't be a sloth. What happens is Solomon says there's four deadly results of being a sloth. Number one is financial hardship. Financial hardship. It says laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Well, if you don't work, you're going to get hungry, okay? You're going to get hungry. You're not even going to be able to eat, okay? So you need to get out there and work, you know? And then the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing, you know? So the best time to plow up the fields is right at the end of winter, because that's, you know, when the ground is starting to kind of melt from the winter. That's the easiest time to plow. But he's saying, you know, because it's a little cold out there during that time, you're not willing to get out there and plow the field or whatever. Well, guess what? When harvest comes, you're going to be begging because you don't have anything. You don't have anything. I mean, you got to understand there's a connection between money and work, okay? Money and work. And if you want money, okay, you know, if you want a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food in your stomach, you got to work, okay? You got to work. And if you're not willing to work, you're going to have financial hardship. You're going to have financial problems. And then missed opportunity. This is one of the saddest ones. Man, when you're a sloth, you miss out on so many great things in life. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And then this is one of my favorite work verses. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You missed opportunities, all right? The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. See, the sloth, the sluggard wishes for things, but they're never going to have any of those things because they don't work for things. They desire, but they don't have because they're sluggards, because they're not willing to work to make it happen. And they have these desires, you know, but they don't have the dedication to make it happen. And it's sad you're going to miss out on so many wonderful things in life when you're a sloth, okay, when you're a sloth. And then probably the I don't know which one's the saddest. I think I said this second one's the saddest, but I think the third might be the saddest. Broken relationships. Broken relationships. When you're lazy in relationships, see, slothful people are self-absorbed. They're all about themselves. They're all about taking care of number one, okay? The Bible says, as vinegar in the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. And I kind of put that verse in the area of the workplace or church. I would also add church. So here's talking about people, you're being sent to do a job. Okay, this might be your work at your workplace. I would have put it in the context of the church as well, you know. Many of you serve in our church. Many of you have a ministry in our church. We send you to do a job. And the Bible says when a person's lazy at that, your boss gives you an assignment. Your boss tells you to do something. And you're lazy about it. It says you're like vinegar to the teeth. And so pure vinegar is not good for your teeth or whatever. And then it's like smoke to the eyes. You ever had smoke in your eyes? I mean, it burns, it hurts. A person who is lazy, they're being sent to do a job. You're saying, okay, pastor, you know, I'm going to own this piece of Capital Baptist Church. I mean, you can count on me to own this. This is my ministry. I'm going to do this in the church, you know. But you become lazy in that. Okay, for your leader in that area, you're like, you know, smoke to the eyes. You're like smoke to the eyes. So it hurts your relationship with your boss and things like that. And then he that is slothful in his work is brother to him who's a great destroyer. So it's talking about those that are slothful in their work, they're like a great destroyer, okay? And one of the things that they destroy is they destroy relationships. They destroy relationships. I mean, particularly in the area of marriage, all right? You know, if you don't make daily investments in your marriage is not going to last. You know, many of you have heard me say through the years, it's easy to fall in love. It's very hard to stay in love. It don't take a whole lot to fall in love. But for you to stay in love with your spouse, you're going to have to work at it, you know? You're going to have to make daily investments in your marriage for it to last. Your marriage is not going to stay the same. Your marriage is not going to go into neutral, okay? And if you aren't willing to pay that price and you're slothful in your relationship, okay, it's going to cost you. Okay, you're going to destroy your relationship. You're going to destroy your relationship. And so we got to make the payment, okay? You know, there's a price to be paid for great relationships. And then paint just a painful existence. Man, the lazy man, their life is like a hedge of thorns. Their life is like a hedge of thorns. My goodness, that's not a very nice way to live, is it? You know, their life is like a hedge of thorns, but the upright, their life is like a highway. You know, they're moving on down the road. You know, great things are happening. Great accomplishments are happening. Good things are happening. They're moving on down the highway or whatever. But the lazy person, their life is really painful. It's like a bunch of thorns. It's like a hedge of thorns. And they just have a painful existence. You know, again, most of you probably would have put this as number 7 on the list. And I'm not arguing it for being number 1, okay? Something does have to be number 7. But all I'm trying to say to you, this is a big deal, okay? This is a big deal. And parents, teach your kids about work. This is a father talking to his son about work and having a strong work ethic. Well, number 3, replace sloth with diligence, real quick. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, and we're struggling with sloth. And again, I just want to remind you, I know most of you, you work so hard. I mean, you work, some of you work too hard or whatever, okay? But are you working hard at the right things, okay? what are you putting your effort into, you know? So the first thing is search for areas of sloth in your life. Just say, okay, Lord, search me. Know my heart. You know, just ask the Lord to search you. And one of the things I do to search my life on a regular basis is I look at Luke 2:52. And Luke 2:52 talks about Jesus increasing. These are 4 areas that we typically don't spend a lot of time focusing on, all right? So I like to use this verse as a good measuring tool sometimes for my life, all right? It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. All right, so it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. All right, so the word is increase. Jesus was growing in these 4 areas. And again, I point out these 4 areas because they're ones a lot of times we don't spend as much time thinking about, okay? The first one is intellectual increase. Intellectual increase. He increased in wisdom. So maybe you need to think about, You know, what do you need to grow your mind? I mean, are you reading anything these days? Are you reading a book or whatever? I mean, should you think about maybe going back to school? Or if you're in school, are you applying yourself? Are you doing a good job in school? Is there a seminar you need to go to? Is there a resource you need to purchase? Is there something you need to do to increase intellectually? Or are you being slothful? You're saying, okay, I probably ought to cut the TV off and read a little bit or whatever, but I'm not going to or whatever. And things like that. I mean, the big thing we deal with is called escapism. Our culture is about escaping. You know, we escape to things like pornography. We escape through the internet. We can escape through Facebook. We can escape through television. We can escape through alcohol. We can escape through weed pot or whatever. There's lots of things out here, and a lot of us are slothful, and we're not focusing on things because we're escaping things. You know, we're trying to get away from things. And then the physical increase. I mean, when was the last time you got a physical? Are you being slothful? Maybe not getting a checkup. Maybe do a checkup or whatever. Have you thought about losing some weight? Have you thought about starting an exercise program? Are you taking care of yourself? If you're ill or whatever, are you taking your medicine? Are you doing a good job in these areas? Just look at your physical condition. Some of you thought about doing losing the lift, but you've been slothful about it. You're saying, I don't want to come on Sunday nights. You know, that's my time or whatever. I'm not going to do that or whatever. I mean, you know, you've heard about it or whatever. You're saying, I'm just not going to do it or whatever. I'm not ready or whatever. Well, maybe that's an area of sloth. Maybe you're being slothful in your life. And then spiritual increase. Jesus increased with God. You know, are you reading your Bible? I mean, are you praying? Are you going to church? Well, you say, yes, I'm in church today. Wonderful, okay? Are you tithing? Are you giving tithes and offerings? I mean, these are all different areas of what are you doing to grow yourself spiritually in your life? What next steps do you need to be taking? And then the relational increase. Jesus increased with God and man. I mean, what do you need to do to build a closer relationship with whoever you feel like that should be, you know? Are you making daily investments in other people to have good relationships? Are you spending time, you know, are you just so self-absorbed and focusing on yourself that you're not giving yourself to others? Just think about that. I use this verse quite often just to kind of look at myself a little bit. Because this is how Jesus increased. He increased intellectually, physically, spiritually, and relationally. And then number two, see eternal significance in what you're doing. A lot of you are slothful because you don't see the eternal. Philippians 4:8 talks about the quality of your thoughts determines the quality of your life. The quality of your thoughts determines the quality of your life. And so do you see the eternal significance in what you're doing now? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Some of you tomorrow are going to wake up and it's going to, you know, most of you don't like your job very much or whatever. I understand that. And you're going to wake up, oh, it's Monday. Oh, here's another Monday or whatever, you know. It's Monday or whatever. I gotta get to hump day and then, oh, Friday's gonna come or whatever, you know. What if you were to wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to work for the Lord today? I mean, do you think that might make a difference in you? Whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not in the men. Do you think it might make a difference if tomorrow morning you wake up and say, I'm going to work for the Lord today? Do you see the eternal significance of what you're doing? Do you understand that? See, a lot of times we're slothful because we don't see the connection with the eternal. Whatever you do, what do you do? What do you do? Do it with your heart. Put your heart into it. And the way to put your heart into it is to do it unto the Lord, okay? And then stop making excuses and start doing God's will. The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. Oh no, I shall be slain in the streets. Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. Man, that's gonna be really hard. Yeah, it's gonna be really hard, you know? It's gonna be really, really hard, you know. It is gonna be hard. And you gotta realize that there are gonna be some obstacles and there may be some lions along the way, you know. Life's not easy. Life's really, really difficult, you know? And you're going to have more bad days than you're going to have good days. You just got to realize that's life, you know? Stop making excuses. Stop your blame shifting, you know? God is sick of you blaming others for your failures in life, you know? Quit your whining. Quit your blame shifting, okay? I like to whine myself. I like to blame you guys. When things aren't going good in the church, I whine to the staff about you all, okay? All right? I whine sometimes. I got to say, Lord, help me not to blame shift, okay? Oh, my goodness. You know, catch myself doing that regularly. I say, Steve, quit whining, okay? Set some godly goals. Don't be a slugger. Be an ant. Say, I don't want, I saw that sloth up on the screen. I never want to be a sloth. Well, what do you want to be? You want to be an ant? Do you like ants? I hate ants. I had a problem with ants in my house. And I've tried like 10 different things. I know I'm a Mitch's. You can tell me three others or whatever, okay? But my ants, they love poison. They love all kinds of things. I even bought something I saw on Shark Tank. You ever watch Shark Tank? I love Shark Tank, okay? I just ordered this Shark Tank stuff. We'll see if that's going to work or not or whatever. But God says, be like an ant. Be like an ant. You ever wanted to be like an ant? How many of you said, I want to be like an ant? Okay, well, God says, go to the ant, you sluggard. You say, I'm a sluggard. What am I going to do? Well, look at the ants. Consider their ways. Number one, they're self-starters. They don't have a captain. They don't have an overseer. They don't have a ruler. But man, they work hard, don't they? They work so hard, okay? They're self-starters. They plan for the future. They get their supplies in the summer. They gather, in other words, they know, okay, you know, it's summertime, you know, there's food around, you know. Now in the winter, they like that too, because they can come in my kitchen or whatever. There'll be food, some food there for them, whatever, okay? But if I can keep them outside, they're in big trouble, whatever, okay? You know, they know when it's time to get food. In fact, ants actually have two stomachs, by the way, okay? I learned a lot about ants. I'm not going to tell you this morning, okay? Look it up for yourself, okay? You know, they plan for the future. I mean, they're self-starters. They plan for the future. And so the question is, how long will you slumber, oh sluggard? When are you going to get up? When are you going to rise from your sleep? So set some godly goals. Paul says, I run, not with uncertainty. I fight, not as one who beats the air. I mean, get you some goals. Run and with direction. You know, punch. You know, a person has no goals is like a life without punch. A person that doesn't have goals is like a life without punch. He's saying, like, he's using boxing. He says, when you're boxing, you're trying to hit the guy right in the face or whatever. All right? Don't fight like one beating the air, he says. Have some direction. Again, a life without goals is like a life without punch, he's saying. You don't have any punch in your life. You're not aiming at anything. Get you some goals, okay? Get you some goals. Father, we love you and thank you for your word today. God, help us, Lord, not to be slothful. But Lord, help us to be diligent. In Jesus' name, amen.